Hello and a warm welcome to the Racing Postcast, brought to you by Racing Post Members Club. My name's Sam Hart, taking you through the weekend action alongside my Racing Post colleagues Graham Rodway and James Stevens. The jump is well and truly back. We had Cheltenham last weekend, a fantastic weekend at Cheltenham, and this weekend we have Ascot and Wetherby to look forward to. A really fascinating Charlie Hall chase to get stuck into later on in the preview. And towards the back end of the show, we'll also be having a little discussion about the Breeders' Cup happening in Santa Anita this weekend. We've got plenty of action to get through, so I'll get straight into the previews. And we start off at Wetherby with the 115 there, which is the Bet Boost at Bet365 handicap chase. It's over 2.5 miles, where Cruise Control tops the market at 5-1. Ladrone is 6-1. Eton Kalina is 13-2. Mount Tempest is 7-1. Gaelic Geordie is 8-1 and 12-1. And bigger the rest. Graham Rodway, I'll start with you. Last time I was on with you, God, it was a hell of a preview. We had Big Rock, who went and absolutely hosed up in the QE2. How are things, and who do you like for this one?
Yeah, very well, thanks, Sam. Yeah, it was a legendary day, that one, wasn't it? Big Rock. I think Parky actually said he was going to win by lengths, and he won by seven. So I hope that all the listeners and viewers were on. His first race at Wetherby's a tough one, isn't it? Very competitive handicap chase. And I thought I'd take a chance on one at a huge price to open up the show, Sam.
Yes.
The Paddy Pie. Absolutely loves it at Wetherby. He's got loads of good form at the track, and he jumps very tidily when he's in good form. And I thought he shaped quite well on his return from his summer break at Warwick last time. And go back and watch the video on the Racing Post website, and you'll see him making good progress down the side of the course as they come up the third last. He looks like he's going to threaten the winner, Bagheera Ginge, and then he just gets tired. I think he was probably in need of the outing, but there's no doubt he's really well handicapped if he comes back to his best form. He's rated 119 as recently as February, and now he's running off a mark of 107, so he's absolutely thrown in on his best form, and he definitely shaped like he was on his way back last time at Warwick. So given he's so good at Wetherby, I think there's every chance he could bounce back at a huge price, 20-odd to 1, the Paddy Pie for me, Sam, in the first.
There you go, Sue Smith's the Paddy Pie, 25-1, like Graham Rodway just said there. It's a big prize to kick things off. James Stevens, can you match it?
Afraid not, no. I've had a look at most of them, and I did just fall back on Cruise Control, who to me just looks the sort of horse that's going to progress so much for going chasing this season. First time out, good run at Foss Lass in what looked a competitive race. Matata won very easily. This horse ran a fine race, only jumped one mistake really. Looked beaten most of the way, stayed on nicely to finish second. Look, I imagine he's a big horse, so he'll come on for it. Step up and trip will help, and soft ground too. It's a muddling opening race really, and very competitive considering it's only just over $6,000 to the winner. But yeah, hopefully Cruise Control is the one to be on, and looks to be on an upwards trajectory.
Okay, Cruise Control for Mr. Stevens. Let's move on then to the 150 at Wetherby, which is the 2 mile Bet365 Mares Hurdle, a listed contest, class one event where we could see some really smart performance. Katira 9-4, Lucia 5-2, You Wear It Well is 3-1, Stainsbury Girl 13-2, Salsada 22-1, Game On for Glory 50s, and Lone Star, the outside of the lot, at 80-1. Like I said, Mr. Stevens, there's a strong chance we could see a real smart type in here. Who do you like in this one?
Yeah, it's a really, really good race, isn't it? And we've got three sort of stand-up novice hurdling mares from last season. Mm. The one who we thought was going to be the star was Lucia, and she finished fourth at Cheltenham and third at Aintree. But it was You Wear It Well who won it at the Cheltenham Festival, when Katira ran second. I'm interested to see that she's the favourite here. I thought, looking at the entries early in the week, they'd all be for Lucia, because she was a really well-hyped horse after she won a really good novice hurdler at Exeter in February, and looked a complete class that day. And I'm willing to give her another chance. I don't think she quite fired at either Cheltenham or Aintree. I just feel the best yet to come for her. And on Racing Post ratings, she did underperform compared to that Exeter run. Funny enough, that race, horses that win that race at Exeter tend not to do well at Cheltenham that season, but go on to better things. So Politolog, Native River, horses like that. I mean, I think she's a completely different type. The reason I like her here is I think this is going to be a real good speed test, and I think she's going to be made for that. You were at Wellard, thought won the mare's novice with a staying, looks more of a stayer, and Katira's form and entry was over 2.5 miles. I think it comes down to speed, she'll be the quicker horse, and Nicky Henson's horses seem to be starting out really well this season. So yeah, I quite strongly fancy her, and the price looks really quite nice.
Okay, Lucia, yeah, 5-2. She was definitely the hype horse before Cheltenham. I've had people telling me she was a bit of a good thing for Cheltenham. Didn't quite happen, but James seems to think she could have better to come this season. Who do you like in here, Mr. Rob White?
I fancy Stainsby Girl here, Sam. She really likes every ground, and make no mistake, it's going to be bottomless at Wetherby this weekend. We've got Storm Kieran, haven't we? Is that what it's called?
We have, yeah, Kieran. Storm Kieran. Hit last night, didn't
it? Yeah, let's hope that all the racing survives, because I think that we're going to be seriously looking for swimmers this weekend. You know, it's going to be very wet. And a lot of these, obviously, coming in first time out, we're going to be questions over their fitness. And the same with Stainsby Girl, but she won first time out last season. Nick Alexander's team is in good form. He's 20% the last fortnight. And she's just got a superb record on soft and every ground. She just jumps off in front, jumps well, and is very difficult to catch. And I think that with the conditions in her favour, she's more than the fair price to upset some of the sexier ones at the top of the market, Sam.
Okay, Stainsbury Girl, 13-2. Yeah, another a decent price there from Graham Robway. Moving on to the 225 at Wetherby, it's the Bet365 Hurdle. This is a Grade 2 contest over 3 miles. And Time Hill, the legend that is Time Hill, is 2-1 favourite. Dashiell Dasher, 5-2. Botox has put up by the anti-postman. Robbie Wilders early in the week is 5-1. Garlore is 13-2. Ambitious Fellow and Red Risk, both 14-1. Graham Robway, everyone loves a bit of Time Hill. Do you like him here?
I don't know. I'm not actually a massive fan of Time Hill. I haven't said that everyone loves him. I see. I do tend to be a bit of a contrarian, though, don't I, Sam? You know, the horses that people love, I tend to dislike, because I'm always trying to take them on and find reasons why they can get beat. I was famous for backing every horse that ever ran against Kulto Star, only to watch him keep thrashing every single one that I backed against him, bar Denman, of course. So, yeah, I want to be against Time Hill. I thought it was between the first two in the market, and I think Dashiell Dasher is the one to be on. He absolutely loves heavy ground, don't he? The more rain that comes, the better it will suit Dashiell Dasher. Jeremy Scott's the type of trainer who rarely has them short of fitness first time out. He's always got them fully wound up, and he's got some of the best pieces of form in the race. And he was second. Well, I thought he was going to win the Stayers Hurdle last year when he was in front at the last. That's absolutely tip-top form, and the conditions are right for him. If he's ready to go first time out, I think he'll beat Time Hill. Dashiell Dasher for me, Sam.
Hey, Dashiell Dasher had a bit of second-itis last season, but hopefully he can go and do the business for you in the 225. James Stevens, who's for you in this?
Yeah, with Graham on that, and if he was going to rip into Dashiell Dasher there, I was probably going to come out kicking and screaming, because I wouldn't have accepted that. Yeah, lovely Dashiell Dasher. Amazing season last year. I thought he might have won the Stayers as well. The ground is the key thing for this horse. I mean, I saw him in the summer, and interestingly, I think he's a little bit stronger and better again, but he is a bit older now, so I think it probably bounces itself out. Amazing season last year. He sort of... fences, hurdles, 2 mile, 4, 3 miles. I think what he wants is 3 miles and soft, heavy ground. I don't think it particularly matters if it's fences or hurdles. Time Hill, a good season last year, was back to his best form at Sandown the Select Hurdle and looked as if hurdling should be the way to go for him. But he is just a little bit inconsistent sometimes, and I'm just wary of him. I know season before last he started out in quite a good race at Auteuil, and it was very, very heavy ground that day, and he ran no race. They blamed the obstacles, but he was clearly below form, so that's a worry for him going into form. And Jeremy Scott, he seems to be having a good run of form of his horses, so yeah, Dashiell Dasher for me as well.
Okay, a joint selection with Dashiell Dasher in the 225. Let's move on to the highlight there at Wetherby then, which is the 3 o'clock, the 3 mile Bet 365 Charlie Hall Chase, another Grade 2 contest, a 4-runner field where Brave Man's Game tops the market at 8-11. Ahoy Senor is 4-1, Gentleman's Game is 5-1, and Midnight River is the outside of the lot at 12-1. Fascinating, fascinating contest here, Mr. Stevens. We've got last year's winner, Brave Man's Game. We've got Ahoy Senor, who has so much ability, just waiting to see the full potential of this horse. What do we make of this field?
I'll be honest with you. This is a race that I can't think of any race I'd like to bet on less than this.
Yeah.
Because there are two huge question marks within the top, the front two in the market. Ahoy Senor last year ran in this and was really poor. And the connections, I remember when he won at Cheltenham in trials day, and they said, it's basically taken three runs to get this horse fit. So whether he's going to turn up and be fully fit for this is always a question mark. Look, and we know Corax Rambler didn't run particularly well the other day, so that's a huge question mark. And then Brave Man's Game, who did win this last year, but the record of gold horses that run very well in the Gold Cup the following year is pretty poor. So I've got a quiz question for you both.
Oh, God.
Since 2017, only two horses that have finished first or second in the Cheltenham Gold Cup have won before Christmas the following season. In that new season, can you name them?
Oh, Mr. Robway, this is over to you. I've just got back from Portugal.
that is quite a tough one, isn't it? There was, didn't one, I think I know the race. Did one of them win the Aintree race, the Many Clouds?
No.
I'm miles away then. Come on then, James. Give us the answer.
So I could be wrong because I've written it down here, but Aplu Tud won the Betfair Chase, and then have to go back to Sizing John, who won at Punchestown in April and then in December. But you've had horses that have Album Photos not been seen since New Year's Day when he won at Native River was beaten, White Bike was beaten, albeit he won at Aintree. Minato Rocco never won again. It's a hard race. It takes a lot out of the horses, a Gold Cup, and it's something I'm always really wary of. And the amount of odds-on shots and short price favourites have gone in the following year, it's looked like a spot kick. Oh, they're going to win this. It's one to question. Look, this is particularly weak for Brave Man's Game. He's really got one horse to beat, realistically. So whether he's going to be the same, I don't know. But yeah, it's a big question mark. And given what happened at Punchdown with him and Gallop and Deschamps both losing, it's a massive question mark. I think Brave Man's Game will win, but I am not touching it at all.
Yeah, it's a really fascinating race to watch, and there's nothing wrong with just watching a race. Don't need to bet on every race this weekend. There's plenty of action on ITV, including the Breeders' Cup this weekend. There's plenty of racing just to sit back and enjoy, and I'm certainly going to be doing so for this race here. Graham Robway, have you got a strong fancy in this?
I don't. I kind of agree with a lot of what James said. It's a strange race because the first two in the market have obviously got bigger targets to come, haven't they? I think that Lucinda Russell is talking about running Ahoy Senor in the Coral Gold Cup at Newbury, so I can only presume this is a prep run for that and he won't be fully wound up. And of course, Brave Man's Game, they were talking about running in the Betfair Chase. They've come here and he's, the King George's his main name, isn't it? I don't think there's anything between Brave Man's Game and Ahoy Senor when they're at their absolute peak form. I think they're both very similar sort of horses. So I can't really see why Brave Man's Game's 8-11 and Ahoy Senor is 4-1. The price disparity would push me towards Ahoy Senor, but I couldn't bet in the race knowing that both of those two big two have got bigger targets to come in the future and might be not be fully wound up. It wouldn't be entirely surprising were one of Midnight River or Gentleman's Game to prove up to the task today, despite not being anywhere near the same level as the front two in the market. So it's a real muddling, trappy sort of race that's not one to bet in and one to watch.
Absolutely, all in agreement there. One to watch at the weekend, but a really good race to watch. Nonetheless, let's move on to the final race we look at Weatherby then, the 3:30 there, which is the Never Ordinary at Bet365 Handicap Hurdle over 2.5 miles, a class 3 event, where a Paul Byrne-owned Willie Mullins favourite here, 7-2 in Ulvani. I'm hoping I've said that right. Winds of the Lightning is 11-2. Albert's Back is 7-1, along with Decorated. 8-1 Rafferty's Return, double figures. The rest of them. It's the jump season, Graham Robby. You know it's the jump season when a Paul Byrne horse is favourite in a race like this. Worth taking on?
Yeah, you've got to take him on, ain't you? Because he hasn't got the form to win the race. You know, he might well go and improve and prove a different class and end up winning easily, but he was absolutely soundly beaten at Newton Abbott, wasn't he, on heavy ground. It's going to be testing ground here, and he's begging to be taken on at the top of the market. He's only favourite because William Mullins trains him, and he's owned by Paul Byrne. The bet for me is Half a Piece, who won this race 2 years ago on his seasonal reappearance. He runs the track really well, like a lot of Pam Sly's horses. They all seem to run Weatherby really well. She's got a really good record there. He's quite a strong stayer at the trip, and I think that will come into play given the ground is really going to be testing. And he was running well on his only start in heavy ground. He was in second behind Totterdown in a race at Sandown early in his career, and he ended up falling at the last. But that was more than enough to convince me that he will handle conditions. The only worry is that he's been off for 232 days, and he was a bit disappointing on his seasonal reappearance last year. So we don't know whether he's going to be fully wound up first time out. But like I say, he did win this 2 years ago on his seasonal reappearance. So the fact they've come back to this race first time out is enough for me to take a chance on him first time out, Half a Piece.
Half a Piece, 10-1 for G-Rod. James Stevens, final race that we preview from Weatherby. Who do you like?
Yeah, not one I've got a particularly strong opinion on. I looked at this before it was priced up and thought that, well, obviously, imagine that Willie Mullins was going to be pretty short. But I thought Decorated deserved to be second favourite. Finished last season in really, really good form. Would handle sort of testing heavy ground, had wind surgery as well since his last run, and there's plenty to like about him. The yard haven't had a winner for a little while, but he looks a good price at 7-1, I'd say.
Okay, there we go. Well, that's Weatherby all sewn up for now. And like I say, at the start of the programme, the jump season is well and truly underway, and there's not a better time to sign up to Racing Post Members Club. And here's how you can get 50% off your first 3 months. Welcome back to the Racing Postcast, brought to you by Racing Post Members Club. Sam Hart, James Stevens and Graham Robway taking you through Saturday's action on ITV. We head to Ascot next for the final part of our preview. The 1:30 there is the Ascot Underwriting Novices Limited Handicap Chase over 2 mile and 3 furlongs. A Class 3 event. Where Are You Wise? That is the 4-1 favourite. Passing Well is 9-2. Cruise Control also in here 11-2. Hermino is 11-2. Scarface 6-1. Gipcot is 9-1. 12-1 about Sir Psycho. Time for a Tune 18s. And Twin Jets is 20-1. James Stevens, the first race we're previewing from Ascot. Who'd you like?
They don't have a selection here. It's interesting that Cruise Control is in here as well. This is actually his first choice. And I think this is a fair bit stronger than the race at Weatherby. I mean, it clearly is. The one I was looking at when I was trying to... Scarface is a really fascinating horse. I wouldn't tip him up because he's not jumped a fence in public yet. But he won at Ascot last season. I'm interested to see what he can do. I think he'll be a lot better as a chaser this year. So from a watching perspective, he's the horse. And Twin Jets as well. I mean, he didn't look quite right in the Silver Trophy at Chepstow. Milton Harris, funny enough, after the race, said he'd back Twin Jets, but not his 40-1 winner. So he was interested going over fences. But yeah, a race I'm going to watch and look at because I think it'll be very informative for the rest of the season. This is a really hot division. This novice handicaps 2.5 miles. It's very competitive. Horses tend to go up from 2 miles or don't stay 3 miles, and they sort of end up here. These early season races are really worth watching.
Okay, James won't be having a bet in the race, but Scarface and Twin Jets, a couple to keep your eye on potentially later down the line in the season. Graham Robway, there's so much competitive action at Ascot on Saturday, some tough races to call. Have you called this one?
I fancy Scarface, yeah. I obviously don't know what he jumps like, but he's got plenty of form at Ascot. He's out of a German mare, so he should go on soft ground. And the Tizzy's horses are running well, aren't they? You know, they're loads of firsts and seconds recently. I thought that the fact that he was bringing him to Ascot for his chase debut might well be a tip in itself. It's not an easy place to jump, is it, Ascot? They tend to go a good old clip round there. And I think that you'll see improvement from him over fences, like James has already said. So Scarface for Tizzy for me.
Okay, Scarface for Tizzy in the 130 there at Ascot. The 205 is the 2 mile, 1 furlong Burn Group Handicap Chase, a premier handicap here, class one event, where Boot Hill and Red Rookie top the market at 4-1. Fred Arms is 11-2. St. Siegel is 6-1. Fernambul Sivola 8-1. First Flow is 10-1. And then we're looking at 11-1 Captain Matan, Keldestan 14th, and the last day 16-1. Graham Robway, your turn to go first here. Who for you here?
First Flow will surely win this. Sam Oney off top weight. He loves Ascot. He loves heavy ground, and he's going to get both here. To my eye, just in a different grade to a lot of these. You know, I mean, he's been running in Grade One races, hasn't he? Against Pick Doherty and horses like Shishkin, and then he chased home Hewick at Sandown, on ground that probably would have been a bit faster than he prefers. And now he drops into a handicap, first time up as an 11-year-old, right? If you're Kim Bailey, you must be thinking, right, he's 11. We're not going to have that many more big days with him. So let's wind him up first time out. Mm-hmm. He's got a decent record when fresh. And Kim Bailey is another trainer who very rarely leaves anything to work on first time up. They're usually fit and firing, ready to go. This has surely been the plan for First Flow, and they probably can't believe their luck when they look up and see the rain come. Everything looks in his favour. I think he'll outclass them from the front, First Flow.
Okay, yeah. One thing you won't be getting in Santa Anita this weekend is rain, and you'll definitely be getting it over in the UK. First Flow, 11 years old, 10-1. He's a massive price, James Stevens.
Yeah, he is. It's a tough ask off that weight, to be fair. So I'm hoping one down the bottom weight, Santa Gal, is the one for me. Do like this horse a lot. He's the improver in the field, and it's just never quite happened for him yet. But I'm fairly hopeful this might be a season. Took a little while to warm up last season, won two decent races, and then was quite unlucky not to win at Doncaster. Just the race didn't run to suit, and it's pretty disastrous for him because it meant he didn't make the cut for the Grand Annual, which pretty much would have been bang on for him, a fast run 2 miles, and just didn't go right at Warwick since. For him, he needs a fast run 2 miles and a bit of a testing track. I think this test is spot on for him. Connections have been looking at this race for a while. It's a 56 grand to the winner, so it's a very valuable pot. They've looked at this for a long time. Looks to me like the improver in the field, and yeah, Boot Hill's another interesting horse, and I think there's plenty of classy horses, but I think Santagal's the one that's going to be an improver this season, so he's the one for me.
Okay, Santagal 6-1 in the 205 for James Stevens. We don't look at the 240, it's not on ITV, so we're going to jump straight ahead to the 315 at Ascot, which is the 2 mile SEAT Unique Handicap Hurdle Class 2 event, where our champ is 4-1 favourite, Rare Middleton is 5-1. Altabelli is 15-2. Knickerbocker Glory is 8-1. Teddy Blue is 8-1. 10-1 About Chance Tune, 12-1. And Bigger the Rest. Gave a bit of an Italian pronunciation to Altabella. Do apologise for that. Our champ tops the market, James Stevens. Is he going to be your champ in this race?
No, I'm going to take him on just because it looks a very competitive race. And, you know, he did win very well at Cheltenham last week. I have to say, I was really impressed by how he won it. The Connections didn't mention this race. The fact they might come here a week later. So he's obviously come back well. And yeah, very impressive with what he did. I thought that was quite a decent race at Cheltenham. So it's going to be a tough test. Altobelli's a horse I've liked for a long, long time. Again, it's another one I've liked that it's not quite happened with. It's a bit of a recurring theme here. Interestingly, Harry Fry did his weekend of stable tour and talked about his run at Aintree. He'd won two pretty easy races and completely misfired at Aintree. And while thinking, it's quite easy to look at it and think he's outclassed. I feel that Carlisle, just the long trip up there and the good performance, may have left its mark. And I'm inclined to believe that maybe draw a line through that run. If you go back to his Carlisle win, the form on paper is pretty rubbish, to be honest. And a mark of 1-3-1 is possibly even on the steep side. But there was a handicap run on the same day, and he ran it in a much quicker time. So the time suggests he's a good horse, and he won it very, very easily. And all the vibes about him are very strong. I think what he needs is again, a strong handicap to just travel through. Tongue ties fitted for first time. Again, he's the possible improver. If there's plenty of rain about, that will absolutely help him. But yes, he's hopefully going to be a horse to watch. And Bad is a really another interesting horse, not from a betting perspective, just one to note. I mean, this horse was all the rage last season when he ran in the Boodles. Rachel Blackmore, but the vibes coming about when Pauling, but this was a good thing for the Cheltenham Festival. Never fired there. Ran at Ascot on his next start in the race that Blue King D'Oro won at 50-1. So he's another interesting horse, and the owners are the Howlands, who obviously like Ascot. So you can imagine he's being teed up for it. So two interesting horses, but Alto Belly for me. But Bad will definitely be interesting. Interesting to see how he gets on.
Alto Belly, yeah, 15-2, Bad. Yeah, I remember the hype around this horse for last year's Cheltenham Festival. Completely right, James. And 12-1, if he can finally show what they were hyping on about, then that might be a big price this weekend. Graham Robway, who do you like in the 3:15?
I like There Is No Doubt here, Sam, a good old price. Lucinda Russell's absolutely bombing, isn't she? 22% in the last fortnight. And this horse has been among the winners. He's comes here fit and firing, which I like, given the ground is going to be very testing. This just might well be his day. And if you look at his last four wins, they came on soft, heavy, heavy and heavy. And he chased home Stainsby Girl on heavy at Newcastle last season. And he's had two runs already this year. One of them was on heavy at Perth and he won. And then last time, just 9 days ago at Carlisle, he ran in quite what I think was quite a hot race behind two unexposed horses. You've got to remember, he's 10, so he's going to struggle against, you know, horses who are really coming up. And I thought he did really well to run them quite close in third in a race that was running a very solid time. So don't get me wrong, he's 10, he's not going to be the most exciting horse coming out of this race in time, but on the day, which it is all about, of course, he's got his ground and he has a fitness edge over a lot of those more sexier ones at the top of the market, and the yard is in top form. So I can more than happy back him at 16-1.
Okay, there's no doubt there from Graham Robway. That's going to be his tip for the 3:15. 3:45, the final race we look at is their feature there at Ascot. It's the Sodexo Live Gold Cup Handicap Chase, a Premier Handicap Class 1 event over 3 miles. Mombeg Genius is topping the market for the John Joe O'Neill stable at 100-30. Beauport is 5-1. Eldorado Allen, top weight here, is 8-1. Mucho Mass is 10-1. 2 for Gold is 10-1. Larry and Yeah Man, 11-1, 12-1. And bigger the rest. Feature at Ascot. Mr. Robway, who are you with?
A good race, isn't it, this one, every year? Obviously, the favourite, Mombeg Genius, is arguably one of the best handicapped horses in training, isn't he? After chasing home the Grand National winner and the Punchestown Gold Cup winner at the Cheltenham Festival, he could be absolutely thrown in here. But there is, in the back of your mind, just that doubt about whether this is the target. There's been a lot of talk about the Coral Gold Cup being his race, and if they have left a little bit to work on with that race in mind, I don't think he'd be winning on very, very testing ground. So I'm more than happy to take him on at the market. And the one I like is Mucho Mass for Ben Pauling, who obviously had a big winner at Cheltenham last week. Very emotional day, wasn't it, for Ben? And this horse was improving very quickly towards the end of last season when he won on testing ground at Eutoxia and then followed up at Standdown. He's still quite lightly raced and unexposed, and I think he's going forward at the right time. He ran well fresh last year, so I don't expect the long absence since his last run to be an issue. And if he has continued his progress over the summer physically, he might be a little bit better than a mark of 129. So it's Mucho Mass for me, Sam.
Okay, the consistent Mucho Mass, 10-1 for Graham Robway. James Stevens, yeah, Graham's right in terms of the fact that Mombeg Genius could be very well handicapped. You take him on.
Yeah, I think he is very well handicapped, but you've got to feel sorry for Connections, because he's he's bumped into Korat Rambler and Farpool Flow, been beaten as a favourite at the Cheltenham Festival, and that's bad enough. But because of what they've gone on to do, he's now got £7 rise for finishing third. That's a bit of a double blow for him, bless him. But yeah, I think I agree with Graham about him. I think the Coral Gold Cup will be the aim for that horse. And given that in mind, I'd be very wary of touching him on Saturday. Mucho Mass was one of ones I liked. I thought his form last season was very good. I really fancied him for the Bet365, the old Whitbread at Sandown. To be honest, I've got half an eye on wondering whether he's going to end up being a Welsh Grand National horse. So he might need to win a race like this just to make sure he gets his place. But I'm going to give a chance to Eldorado Allen, bit of an old favourite and a horse we're used to seeing. But the interesting thing with this horse is now that Freddie Gingell is going to take off £7, his mark's dropped to 154. So he's effectively rating off 147, which is pretty big considering last season he was second in a Betfair chase. Didn't run too badly in the King George. He was campaigned quite busy last season, but one of his runs was really eye-catching at Aintree in the big handicap there. We travelled into it really strongly and just faded towards the end. I don't know if that's the combination of having run in a Gold Cup only a month before or carrying 12 stone. So he's going to be carrying a bit less weight. He seems to handle the ground. He's a class horse in the race, undoubtedly. And if he is gunned up for this, which... given I did Joe Tizard's stable tour this week, they're pretty confident he is, then he looks a bit of a price because we know he's got the form.
Yeah, Eldorado Allen, top weight, but yeah, got Freddie Gingell on board, £7 claimer, really talented £7 claimer as well, 8-1 in the 3.45. So there is all the ITV action sewn up from this side of the pond. After this short advert, we're going to be going over to the Breeders' Cup for a few selections and see if the gents have any other bets elsewhere.
Do you want over £500 in free bets? Well, the best free bet offers are now all in one place. Head to racingpost.com/freebets where you can find all the offers from your favourite bookmakers. Click the link in the description to find out more.
Welcome back to the final part of the Racing Postcast, brought to you by Racing Post Members Club. Still Sam Hart, James Stevens and Graham Robway taking you through the weekend action. Like I say, there's plenty of good action going on this weekend, wherever you are. Unfortunately, we've got no Down Royal. That's going to be waiting until next weekend, which is a bit of a shame. But look, we've got something to look forward to for next week. James Stevens, is there anything that you're excited about this weekend?
Well, to start there, you've said something to look forward to next weekend. It's Badger Beers next weekend, Sam, so sort yourself out.
Sorry, it's Frodon's big day as well. I forgot about that.
No, I mean, we'll head to the Breeders' Cup. It looks fantastic, isn't it? And two great days and loads of British and Irish interest. It feels really strong, doesn't it? I mean, it is sometimes the case where you've got a couple of British and Irish horses, but not the big names, not the ones we're sort of used to seeing. They're sort of done their seasons, but in Inspiral and August Rodin, that's two top-class British horses that we look forward to seeing. And I think August Rodin is a bit of a good price, actually. Our middle distances are usually much better than the Americans, and this is a Derby winner. He's been kept off the track for a while. He looks to me the horse that would go around a bend and travel quite sweetly. So I think he's made for the race, and it's no surprise he's been campaigned with it in mind. Looking at the others in there, I think he's the one to beat. Westover would have been a challenge, but sadly we didn't get to see him. Having said that, the middle distances in America aren't as good as ours, I am going to take on Inspiral in Italian, who I thought was a bit of a big price. She was second in the race last year when it was run at Keeneland, and given the way she likes to race from the front, Santa Anita could well suit her a bit better. She's got a great draw and stall one as well, so in Italian, looks good price in the filly and mare turf. And finally, I'm going to go for the Japanese horse Songline in the Breeders' Cup Mile. Lots of interest from Godolphin in that race. But she is, well, if you look at her form, it doesn't read all that well. She's a bit patchy in and out, but she is a real hold-up horse. And when you're going around the bend, it is a bit of luck of a draw, and it's going to be the same case again on Saturday. But when she gets the break, she's a very classy horse. And I think that a fast run Breeders' Cup Mile, a real top level contest, she's going to be one finishing. And fingers crossed she gets the breaks. If she does, I think she'll win. So okay. Songline and Breeders' Cup Mile is the last one. And then domestically, not others of interest, but I would point towards the Ascot Bumper and have a look at that from a viewing perspective. Looks a really, really hot race. It usually is, because it's a good pointer towards the Ballisted Bumper they have there in December. So a lot of horses will go to this race. And then there, Oak Grove is the talking horse from Fergal O'Brien. Sales topper at Cheltenham in the April sale. Really, really highly rated. Interested to see what he can do. But all the big names are there. Definitely worth a watch. There could be some stars in there.
Okay, yeah, it certainly could be. Definitely worth watching the Bumper. from Ascot on Saturday. You mentioned the Breeders' Cup there with the 7-10, which is the fillies and mare turf. I completely agree with you with Italian. I think she's ever so consistent. She's only been outside the top two on one start, where she actually finished third. She was actually very impressive at the start of the season, winning two grade ones out there. She was then dropped back in trip, finishing second both times, stepping back up to the 10 furlong trip. I can see her putting up a mighty display once again. She looks a fair price at around sort of the 6-1 mark there. The Breeders' Cup mile, I think that could go the way of Kalina. I think she's being underestimated once again here, the French raider, with Maxime Guyon on board. I mean, the horse is drawn in stall 11, which is never ideal out there, but Maxime Guyon over in America is pretty lethal. I think this horse go very well. You actually look at this horse's form on quick going, you've got to say the good to soft at Longchamp for the foray was definitely a lot quicker than that, wasn't it? And she went and beat Kinross in fair fashion and beat a strong field there. And the last time she ran on quick going was the Prix de Sandringham on Jockey Club weekend, where she was ultra impressive, beating Saturn, who actually ended up going on to beat Big Rock later on in the season. So the form's all there. She's around 13-2 for the Breeders' Cup mile. If Maxime Guyon can get the position, I think that horse can go in. And in the Breeders' Cup turf, I think the race is set up for August Rodin with Bolshoi Ballet and Broom in there. I think the pace will be run suit, but I do think it'll also suit the French raider Ernesto in here as well, who, if you take out the Irish Champion Stakes run and look back at the Prix Jacques Le Mans run after a long time off the track, this horse ran an absolute stormer in that behind the likes of Inspiral and Big Rock. And then, you know, the Irish Champion Stakes put a line through that, and then look at the Arc run behind Ace Impact, which was absolutely superb on quick going. I think if this gets made into a bit of a test, we can see Ernesto flying home late. I think Guyon could be in for a good evening out there in America. Graham Robway, a few American races covered there. Have you got one for us?
Yes, lucky you're here, Sam. I have not had too close a look at the Breeders' Cup yet, I must admit, and my strategies this year have gone out the window. Usually I rely on a bit of inside information coming from the track, but I'm not getting that this year. And not only that, but the other foolproof strategy at the Breeders' Cup is just to back Charlie Appleby Blind, of course. But he doesn't actually have that many runners there this year, does he? I mean, Master of the Seas, of course, is his big hope in the mile, but that one's drawn out in stall 14, isn't it? So that is really in the car park. I did notice in the races before the Breeders' Cup, he does have a couple of chances, one in the Derby, I think they call it, Silver Knot, and he's also running Siskany in the staying race. Right now, it's not a it is a cliche to say that all the American stars are not that good, but all the American stars are not that good, and you know, Siskany is just better than these, so he should win. And I might half consider putting him in that double with Silver Knot early in the day. But this might not be the Breeders' Cup that we've been used to for Charlie Appleby this year, Sam. He just not got the numbers this year, has he?
He hasn't, no. And I can imagine they're in for a big season next year. We'll see Charlie Appleby bouncing right back. Is there anything else domestically, Graham, or should we get straight into the Naps?
No, I think we need to go straight to the Naps. I mean, I would have loved to have put one up at Chelmsford, but I've just not had time to have a look yet, Sam. They've got a new meeting there on Saturday afternoon at my local track, so I'll definitely be getting involved there, but not had time to have a good look at that card yet, so I wouldn't want to put anyone away.
It can't be long until they get a turf track there at Chelmsford, can they, Graham? Do you know when that's actually happening?
It's coming, Sam. I don't know when it is coming, but the turf track actually does exist. I've seen it with my own eyes, and it will be just about the tightest turf track in Britain. It'll certainly be rivaling Chester in terms of that. So I'm looking forward to some nice twilight evenings in the summer, turf racing at Chelmsford with me cocktail. Can't wait.
Absolutely, yeah. I can imagine that you get a few horses this start, well, whenever the turf track goes up, it'll be used as an American trial track. I can imagine how tight that'll end up being over there. So looking forward to that, Chelmsford, when they do bring that out for some twilight racing on the turf. But now it's time for the best bets this weekend and the Naps. I will start with you, James Stevens. Who are you going to be having as your nap this weekend?
Yeah, one we've discussed already, Sontagal in the 205 at Ascot. Improving horse, looks the horse to be on. He looks like he's going to have a big season. Some of his form reads very well. He's a classy horse. If you go back through his form, look how he travels, even as a three-year-old, travel through the Boodles like the winner at one point. To me, he's just progressive, and I think this will be his season. Soft ground looks fine for him. This is an ideal test for him, and hopefully he's got much, much more to offer this season. So Saints Sonsegal in the 205 at Ascot.
205 at Ascot, Sonsegal for James Stevens. Graham Robbie, who's the nap going to be for you?
I'm going to go for Stainsby Girl to cause an upset in that mare's hurdle against all the big ones. 150 at Weatherby, Stainsby Girl for me, Sam.
150 at Weatherby, Stainsby Girl for Mr. Robway. And I'm going to be putting one up over in America, of course, Sam. It's going to be Ernesto in the Breeders' Cup Turf. I need to make sure I get the time. Here is 9:50 p.m. British time on Saturday. And you'll see all the action on ITV for the Breeders' Cup as well this weekend. Well, we've absolutely flown through that preview, considering we've had sort of 9 races plus the Breeders' Cup to get through there. So I've got a bit of time to find out what the plans are for the weekend for both of you. Graham Robway, what are you up to this weekend?
Yeah, looking forward to this weekend, Sam. I'm not in early this Saturday, so I can have a little bit of a lie-in. I look forward to that. Saturday, of course, let's hope that everything goes ahead. Should be fantastic, shouldn't it? And I might have a bit of a Breeders' Cup party on Saturday. Oh, wow. You see, when we were younger, that used to be a thing, you know. People would have Breeders' Cup parties. We'd all go around, have a few drinks, something to eat, and watch the Breeders' Cup together. Not many people seem to do that anymore, but I'm going to create my own one where everyone's invited, Sam. Make sure you come round to Chelmsford, won't you? You can come.
Yeah, no, I'm just got my phone out here. I'll wait for the text, Graham. And as soon as that comes, I'll be round on Saturday night. It's bonfire weekend as well, isn't it, of course? Sky Fawkes night with fireworks. So I don't know whether any fireworks are planned for anyone. James Stevens, are you off to any firework displays this weekend?
No, and I'm certainly not going to any tight turf chats around Chelmsford anytime soon either. No, quite one for me. Just watching the Breeders' Cup and enjoying it. I think much more interesting my plans would be for our good viewers to watch back the bumper at Chepstow on Tuesday, which I was lucky to see in person. And I have to say that's possibly one of the most eye-catching performances from Captain Bellamy I've seen in a long time. I think that bumper is very, very hot. So instead of worrying about my plans, go watch that race back. I've added about 4 of them to the tracker. I think that's going to be a very good race.
Well, okay, yeah, that was the 4:16 at Chepstow on the 31st of October. Go watch the race replay back. You can do that by signing up to Racing Post Members Club and get your full race replay there as well. It's an opportunity for me to put a plug in there, so thank you, Mr. Stevens. I'm just going to be settling down, watching the Breeders' Cup this week and having a well-earned break off, and then bang, straight back on it on Monday, where we've got the got the Badger Beers next week, and also Down Raw, the rearranged fixture there next week as well. So looking forward to that. If you are having a bet this weekend, do make sure you gamble responsibly. Do like, subscribe, share, get your comments in down below. I'll try and reply to as many as possible. And we will see you again next weekend. Thanks for watching.